Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started. What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? Jay Randall, how you doing?
Oh, what's up, Brian?
I was like wondering where you were.
I don't know, man. I got locked out of my Facebook accounts, and
oh, geez.
I was wrestling with that, and I didn't even get that fixed, so I'm on my phone right now. So.
Facebook jail?
No. It's something. I'm not sure what's going on, but I was locked out of one. I got back into one, and now I can't get back into the other.
Gotcha. So, it's the trouble of having a couple of Facebook accounts, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
love it. Guys, gals, go in the lower left-hand corner, click that share button, share the stream up. Let's get some folks in here. Drop in the comments where you guys are tuning in from. Got a fun show for you guys. We got a little announcement action going on. We got our friend John Rapp in the house. He's got some surprises for you, Jay.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Hey, what do you say, Jay Randall? How you doing, buddy?
Why is he on again?
I thought you needed some old friends to come on the live show tonight. So I thought I would hang out with you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I've never met.
Oh, John.
What do you got, like an old man filter on?
he's got some tricks up his sleeve tonight. I'm just saying, you guys might want to pay attention. Those listening on the podcast, John had a filter on and made him look like he was 100 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm close to it anyway, man.
Yeah. There, buddy. You're getting there. You got some time to go, though.
Yeah, a little bit. But, Jay, I tell you what, buddy. You know, you need to be careful, because if you're ever late again, you know.
If I'm ever late again.
I may have to load my gack and let you know not to mess with the Paddle and Fin Mafia.
This is so... Oh, God.
There is a reason for the madness.
Oh, my God.
But we appreciate all you guys here tonight. We're going to recap our little trip during ICAST and ICAST in general. I guess let's start off. Like, John drove down to Jay's place. I drove down to Jay's place. We kind of rendezvoused there. Had some coffee at Jay's nice, new, humble abode.
Wow, what a place. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, it's my nice palace.
Nothing.
A lot of spiders around.
Yeah, a lot of spiders. There's a lot of other bigger stuff around here. You know, it's a little warmer, so.
Yeah, that's why I don't live in the South. But, and then from there, me and John drove to Alabama to pick up Jimmy Skinner. Headed straight to Florida. We got to fish Felsmere and then the Gulf of Mexico.
That day, man, that was a 14-hour day.
Yes, sir.
Behind in the vehicle.
And the old man kept up with us.
Barely. I mean, I went from this to that like overnight. I mean, good God.
It was true. It is true. But we made it. We made it in one piece. We caught some fish. You caught some fish at Fellsmere, right?
No. Well, I had one bite. One bite on a topwater frog, man. And that's when I slid over to you. You sent me a message. You said, "Hey, dude, I think I found some." Yeah. And I came around that bend, and you were over there, and you had caught some fish. And you're like, "Yo, man, you got any 10-inchers?" I'm like, "Dude, I only got 3.5.
Oh, boy.
So yeah. Anyway. You threw me one of those 10-inch Senkos, what, black and blue?
Seven-inch Senko.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you get, I didn't have any 5-aught hooks, and you said, "No, dude, you gotta have a 5-aught hook."
Yeah.
And I think my biggest set. Yeah, yeah. So I tied that stuff on, threw it out, and didn't get a bite. But watched Tim catch 3 fish within 30 feet of me, 35, 40 feet of me.
Somebody had to do it, John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I should. I think I got videos on my Facebook page of you and Jimmy catching fish that day. You sent me the video you had of Jimmy, and yeah, I spliced them together and put a video up of that trip. So
we got Armando in the chat, and he says you owe him some moonshine.
Yeah, yeah, I do, Armando. I apologize. That stuff that I brought down, it was trash. So we got rid of it. And, of course, Jay, I left my
thermos.
Yeah, at his place with the cherry. And then when we met with him in Alabama, we got to sample it for a couple of times before we got rid of it.
Yep, I brought it back because you forgot it in my freezer.
Yeah.
I kept going in there. I'm like, you know what? And then I was like, oh, this stuff's frozen. I was like, I didn't know moonshine freezes.
That's cause it's at 101 or whatever.
Yeah, too much of whatever that other thing that was cut of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured you'd want it back. It'd do us all good at the
in Alabama. It did us a little good there, you know. We got to the cabin there that you rented, and that was an outstanding find, brother. But
says who?
I mean,
oh, you know, shut up! You were fine. So,
hey, I didn't see him complaining when he was sleeping on the couch, cuddled up with that little teddy bear.
You got that big old queen size bed, man. I mean, I know you're a giant, but
I did sleep good. I did sleep good there. But walking into the kitchen to get some coffee, I had to duck several times.
This is true. This is true.
Well, let's talk a little bit of ICAST, man. Like, John, why don't you give us a background on kind of what you were doing down there and what you had going on?
Well, it was my 6th trip down. I've been with the Feel Free Fishing Team for 8 years, and I've went down since 2016, I think, 16. Normally, and a lot like what we did, Brian, except I used to fly into St. Pete, and I would meet up with a friend down there, and we would go kayak fishing in the Gulf.
Okay.
Before we would drive up to Orlando, and you know, Brian set up one hell of a nice trip for us after we fished Fellsmere the next day. We went out with Katie Joe. You guys make sure you look her up.
Yeah. Best fishing guide in all of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, she did. She put us, when others were canceling because of the hellacious thunderstorms blowing through, she said, let's set it out for 30 minutes and it'll blow by and we'll go out. And we did. And we caught fish. So, but, you know, I'll go to Orlando and I'll hang out with the Feel Free booth, and then I'll walk around and mingle and see people like you guys and from the other community. Because, you know, what I love about ICAST is the social aspect of it. Granted, it's a grind. People are working, signing contracts, selling product. But for pro staff, it's the time that you can get to go talk to people that you don't see at the tournament trails that are from other states. And you can catch up. You get to meet people in person. I got to see quite a few people that I haven't seen since last year. So.
Yeah. And that was one thing I definitely had talked about a little bit was, I forget where I was talking about it on. Oh, it was on our Armando's podcast. You know, like one cool thing about ICAST is you get to see all those faces that, you know, you follow on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, people in the industry that you know and you may talk to online, but you don't get to see, you know, face to face, but once a year at ICAST, you know.
That's true. What I also liked about it, what do you say, Tyler? What I also liked about it was, you know, I've been pretty active on Twitter here lately, and I met with a fellow from up toward your way up in Wisconsin who was going to be down there to pitch his new product, which was Angler Armor. And I actually got to go talk to him and his wife, hang out with them, meet Cliff Crochet, who was his pro. He's a great dude, and I really enjoyed spending time talking to him and learning about his product, and, you know, was able to give him ideas on how to use his product and market it to the kayak angler, which after the fact, he's like, man, you opened my eyes. You know, there's a whole other market there that I can sell my product to. And so hopefully that means good things for him.
And that was your Bluetooth cable lock system you got, right?
No, I ordered that and I sent it to him. I said, can your system do something like this? And he said, I don't have a cable lock, but that's something that I need to look at. Sure. And, but he's got like, they're like hockey pucks.
Okay.
They're sensors. And so he's got an alarm, a small alarm that you hook to your batteries in your bass boat. And then you put those pucks on your lids. So if someone opens up your lid to get down in to take your poles or get your baits, those sensors will trigger the alarm to go off. And if you're sleeping in your hotel room, it'll send off an alarm on your phone. So it'll wake you up and you can go out, see what the hell's going on. Huh. So I was like, dude, so for a kayak angler, you could take that power pack that needs power and you could hook it up inside in your vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. Just leave it in your vehicle. Or if you have a trailer that has battery access, a battery box, you could hook it up there. But just leave it in your vehicle and put the pucks in your kayak. And if that kayak moves when they're moving it, it's going to set that sensor off, set the alarm off in the truck, and notify you in the hotel room.
Huh. The only thing,
the only downfall, Brian, where is if, let's say they did get the kayak out quickly and took off with it. Well, the battery pack is in the truck, and that's got the Bluetooth signal that you can track. So that's why we would need to figure out a way to keep it in your boat. But also, I mean, it's still the pucks would warn you and let you know to get out there quick enough to you might stop somebody or get a tag or be able to chase them or something.
Sure.
So that's the thing he's working on, is trying to figure out how to put a power supply to that, where a kayak angler could throw it down in the hull of his boat and maybe or bungee it in, leave it there for 4 to 6 months, and then be alerted that the battery's going bad and change it out and do another one. So
that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm pretty sure that he's looking at and working on right now.
It'd probably be better if he went cellular. That would make that a lot better.
I don't know if it's Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or how it works, but you're right, Jay. I mean, that would you couldn't go wrong there. So,
yeah, kind of like a trail camera, right, Jay? That's what you're talking about, like
the either that or I mean, the technology exists where you could do like you could use it for a warning system and then also a tracking.
Yeah, like a GPS signal.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's set up now. But I guess anywhere that it catches a Wi-Fi signal, it'll let you know where it's at. So
yeah, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess
for it, that would be kind of
cool. Yeah, and it could be cellular. I would have to go back and read more into it, but I'm thinking Bluetooth and Wi-Fi is what I understand. So
yeah, because I just wonder about like the reach, like the distance, in terms of being able to be advised of any like movement or agitation to it.
Yeah,
because I mean, like, you know, when I moved, I bought this thing called the eye tracker. And I was able just to throw this little tracker in one of the boxes, and it monitored where our stuff was. Like and I got the extended battery, but it was pretty close to like, you know, a month worth of time. So, I mean,
you could throw that in the hull of your kayak, right?
Yeah, and you can like do like a monthly subscription, or just do it for like 1 month, okay, if you want, or you could do it for like multi months and all that. But the point being is that, I mean, and this thing was only like, you know, it's like the size of a GoPro. It actually smaller than a GoPro.
Huh.
And it worked pretty well. But I mean, that would be something I think you can implement into that and make it even better. Because there's nothing out there that's like a lock, a security system, you know, just in general, you know, for vibration. And then also something you can track.
Right. Right. If somebody gets away with your boat, staying in a hotel or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was like one of my concerns when we were on the road, you know, and, you know, we had our kayaks cable locked to my trailer, and I know John had his cable locked in the bed of his truck, you know, but, you know, that only goes so far.
True.
Yeah.
I dropped. And for a cool fishing guide down in the Gulf of Mexico, definitely hit her up. Or if you want to see just some cool catches, follow her on Instagram. She's always posting up good stuff. Did we lose John?
No, I'm
here.
Right.
Something happened. I think it was to you, because that's why I'm waiting. I'm like,
oh
yeah.
Did he just cut out again?
I glitched for a second there. I've been yelling at the internet company, you know.
You might hit the go. Can't you get Skynet out there?
I don't know. I'm gonna.
They're not Skynet. Starlink.
What's Starlink? Heck? Yes, Starlink.
Like, yeah.
Jeez, I would love to be able to get Starlink here in the old mountains of West Virginia. I wouldn't have to be up here in my truck.
You can get it. It's available now, man.
No, not for me. Not in my spot. Not yet.
I know they're still launching satellites for the coverage. That might be part of it.
I'm hoping it'll be here soon.
Right on, right on. Well, what's an interesting product you guys saw come out of iCast? Dwayne Wally said, "Put another 25 cents in the slot."
Yeah.
I got a quarter around here somewhere. Oh, there we go.
So what'd you guys see out there?
Go ahead, John.
There was a lot of good things, man. I've talked about it on my show, but the Cashin Icon Rod, it's a bait finesse system. You can use a bait caster. And I went and talked to Jody Queen about that, and he told me what reel to match up with it. So, they're taking orders August 1st. If y'all are looking for something like that, so go look at Cash and Rods on Facebook. But Jay or Brian, I don't know if you noticed, but from last year to this year, I was really glad to see some of the international folks making it back to iCast. The auditorium was full, and it was spread out even more over where they had you. It filtered down on past you into the area back there. And I didn't really know how much was back here until like the end of day two, when I was walking around and then came over to talk to you. I was really, really glad to see them folks back, because missed them last year. We freeze up.
I know. This is Brian. Are you there? Well, I didn't actually get to go to ICAST. But from what I'm hearing, everybody had a great time. And like you were saying, that there's just a lot of people that were actually at the event this year. Obviously, you know, in past years, in the past 2 years, there just hasn't been a lot of people out there for obvious reasons. But yeah, a lot. I mean, the more innovations coming out, right? You know, a lot of the big YouTubers were out there that do like you know, other versions of our fishing, like, you know, noodlers right. were out there, and you know, bow fishing and things of that nature. Like, what else did you see out there like that, Jen?
Quite a few. I can't think of that girl's name. Sarah Salt was there. I saw her walk by. And then we had a little girl that's with us now from Georgia. She fishes for like stripers, catfish, and she posted a video where she caught like almost a 10-pound striper like day before yesterday.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dakota is her name. Dakota Laren from Georgia. And yeah, you know, and you still saw Houston there and Dance and some of the old timers that got fishing started. You know, that brought it to the commercialization and marketing and TV that got, you know, it was good to see those guys walking around.
Did you see any new like innovation? Like, I heard there was some new stuff, like new twists on a couple things out there, I think.
Well, you know, I mean, I can talk about Feel Free. I mean, we have a new airship.
There you go. Go for it.
It's a three-staged SUP. You can buy it just with the stand-up paddle platform, or you can get it with what they call the Fish and Fun, which comes with a pedal drive and a seat. And then the more hardcore has stuff around the seat for like storage. So it's going to be, it's prototype. I went around and asked everybody to give me their honest feedback so I could get with the engineer and a product designer and give him all the feedback. He could take it back to Thailand and make modifications to it. Go ahead.
So I was going to ask, you said it was a three chambered. So is it inflatable or is it hard plastic?
Both. It's if it's the inside of it is, think of it as a two piece Lego. It comes together and then you got bladders that form around it.
Interesting.
So you can deflate the bladder, pull that off, and then take that apart and put it in a bag and throw it in the back of your car and go.
I think I've seen other kayaks with that, well, not with all of that, but from the kind of Lego idea, I think I've seen like these other kayaks where you can do that. There's hard plastic and you can put them in like 2 foot, 2.5 foot sections, and then they just go inside your car or whatever.
I've seen something like that where it's in three pieces, but I don't know who makes that.
Yeah. And I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's like, I've seen that too. Cause I was like, what is that? I was like, no, I mean, obviously it wasn't as cool as our fishing kayaks, right? But the fact that you could break that thing down and just put it into a vehicle, very cool. You know?
Yeah. And you know, people that live in a 30 story high rise, like up where you're at, or you don't have garages to store their hard plastic boat. You know, that they need to have something that they can throw in a closet and still get out and enjoy themselves. And those items definitely hit the bill and fill the bill there. So
sure. There's a market for all that kind of stuff. But I mean, like what other stuff with that stand-up paddle board, right? It's an SUP.
Yeah. SUP without a pedal drive part, or you can replace the front section of the plastic that has a slot to put the pedal drive.
Do you know the specs on it?
No, it's still prototype. It's the only one. I know I can tell you it's about 11 feet long, 11 and a half feet long. But when it goes back next mid August. Peter's going to make changes to it, and then we'll know more about it here in about 4 or 5 months. So,
gotcha. That's cool.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I didn't get to go around and really look at a lot of stuff because I was setting I set up my studio in the Feel Free booth and did live shows from there. I wasn't as nicely set up as Brian. Guys, if you go back and look at Brian's feeds, he had a really good setup and show with the at iCast and had a lot of good videos put out. I think everybody needs to go back and review. He did one with Waypoint TV. He did a bunch with New Canoe there and with on the New Canoe show as well. So
that's cool.
You still there, Jay, or did I lose you too?
No, I'm still here, man. Hey, so after, well, how did you close out iCast? And then I know you guys had to make a pretty long trek up to Gunnersville where I met you guys. Like, why don't you go into there, like go into that and, you know.
Well, I pulled out of there at 2 o'clock. And when I left, I got to take one of the swivel seats for the Big Fish 103 that I'm probably the first guy to have one. I got it, took it out through the truck, went back and grabbed my stuff. And then I just waited for Brian and Jimmy to get freed up. And of course, as soon as they booked out of there, we went and got his trailer filled up and made that 11-hour drive to meet with you. So,
man, that was a trek. I was like, you know, my 3-hour drive was hard, but 11, like 11 hours, man. Oh,
who drove 11?
You guys did, obviously. I was like, I didn't. I live a little closer now, though.
I did 3,300 miles in 10 days. And it realistically, that 3,300 was in 4 days, 4 or 5 days.
That's an oil.
I tell you what, Brian, waiting on you to come back to the show makes a person old.
You're telling me.
I don't know what the issues is. I don't know if it's my laptop, if it's the internet here. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out after this show. I've been having this issue for like 2 weeks now, and it's just a pain in the butt.
Gotta go fix that antenna on top of the house.
Yeah, I feel like Everett Park, dude. Everett Park, like he used to do like lives on the New Canoe team page, and it'd be like, you know, and he'd like just you thought he was either having a stroke or his connection just went to crap. But yeah, what are you gonna do, man? What are you gonna do?
You're back.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, iCast was interesting, man. It was, I know we were talking about it. Yeah, you brought up a good point, John, is to see all the international folks back at the show, and that was super cool.
Yeah, it was.
But some of the new products as well, man.
Well, what stuck out to you, right? Like, what did you see that was, you know, that tickled your fancy?
I didn't really get to walk around much. I was doing 8 million podcasts and live streams, but I did get some time over in the Lakewood booth, and they got a new case coming out, which we showed off on that podcast that I streamed out of their booth. That new Berkeley Slobber Knocker, I think it's called.
Say that one more time.
Slobber Knocker.
Such a weird name.
it is, but a lot of buzz around that. It's an interesting concept. There was some stuff that I saw come out of Z-Man, and I was kind of like, yeah, I don't get it. It was weird, but I did finally see the Jackson Gnar.
Is it cool looking?
It looks cool. It is cool looking. The deck was laid out real nice. like we talked about, that internal rod storage.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Hobie setup. Super nice. Definitely something they had needed to put in one of their big boats.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they should have got rid of the big rig because of it. But the drive, I was not impressed.
Really? I mean, it's supposed to be, I mean, this is what, the fourth version now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. So, I mean, what was.
So I need to, disclaimer, I didn't try it in the water, but like walking up to it and turning the cranks, like, I was just like, this is real stiff and rough. Like, it wasn't as smooth as I thought it would be. Being belt driven, I guess. And then I know.
I gotta go, but I'll be right back.
Okay. Like, okay, Ryan.
But I know Armando tried it on the water and he said the drive was squeaking. And the Jackson rep was like, yeah, how'd you like it except for the squeaking noise? And it was like, dude, I thought they got that figured out. But, you know, overall, like, the layout of the boat was super nice. I haven't got a chance to try it on the water, so I couldn't tell you in that regards. But the layout of the boat was nice. I got to see Drew's boat, finally, the Sholey.
Yeah.
Super cool layout in that. And, you know, like, we talked about... Because I can't remember if we had Drew on here or where it was, but you know, a lot of like intricate designs were put into that boat, like little subtle things with like the you know, the catch board placement, having that measuring stick in that slot, like if you don't have your catch board with you, so you could kind of, you know, get a general ballpark of the size of your fish, the anchor system, and all that good stuff. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was pretty cool to see that. Trying to think what else. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to walk around much. I got to see the Tightline Anchor. That was cool. Did a podcast with them. Mm-hmm.
Didn't they just come out with a K5 or something?
What's that?
Didn't they come out with a K5? It's like a bigger one.
Yeah, slightly bigger. I had never seen one in person. I know we had done a podcast with them previously, and then, you know, I did a podcast with them at the show there, and
yeah,
they kind of opened up my eyes on numerous ways to use that anchor. Granted, I'm not an anchor guy, but, you know, I'm kind of considering it now that I've seen it, you know.
Well, I mean, they got their place, right? You know, I mean, if you want to sit somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, in a more shallow situation, if you have, like, a second point of contact with the ground. Sure. But I mean, yeah, those things, they're designed. Because I have the K3, which okay. is, like, specific for the kayaks. And I've used it a few times. I'm not a big anchor guy either, but
right.
I do use it. And, like, river situations are perfect for it because the way that thing opens up.
Yep.
And then the way it digs,
yeah,
you know, because it's such a minimalist, it's like their whole, actually, it's their, what's the word? Or, well, it's their whole, the whole point of their design was to make it
yeah.
like a minimalist anchor, lightweight, but very strong.
Yep.
But like, you know, in rivers, I mean, if you tie off, obviously, and float down, and, you know, I like the stakeout pole on the side, and then you can get 2 points of contact, and you kind of stay sure. where you want to. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good lightweight anchor and it stays out of the way. And you don't need, like, a lot to, you know, use it.
Right.
Per se. Because now you don't have a big clunky 10-pound anchor that's just making a ton of noise and, you know, is picking up all kinds of schmutz, you know, off the ground. You know, and if you're in a lake scenario, you know, if it's mucky, you're bringing all that back on the boat.
Right. Right.
Speaking of rivers... or river, how is River doing?
River Wolf is good, man. You know, we paid a little tribute to him out of the new canoe booth on Thursday, and he's at home continues to kick butt in physical therapy, and you know, he's up, he's walking, he's moving, he's rehabbing. So we did like a little tribute to him on Thursday, which was really cool. I mean, the first time I met River Wolf was at ICAST, and we all wore a River Wolf Legacy t-shirt for all the Team New Canoe guys. And, you know, some of the guys sat down, shared some stories and stuff on one of the podcasts we did out of the New Canoe.
It's a good deal. Good to hear.
So, yeah, I actually would have wanted to see the I don't like I have never met River Wolf or anything, but I think it's cool, like, just how everybody kind of came together on that one, you know, and still continue to.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a long uphill battle, but he's fighting the good fight, you know. And there was and that was one of the things, like, we had talked about as a group, like, you know, there was a point in time when it all went down and he was hospitalized, like, we didn't know if he'd be here today, you know? Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's up walking around, you know, I believe he's off the oxygen now. He may still be using it some, but the fact that he's still kicking ass is pretty cool. And yeah, I think you may see something coming on a New Canoe for that. That's all I could really say. But yeah, but it was cool, man. It was and that's the thing too, right? Like the preface to ICAST, the show we did there, you know, or we did before we left to go there, it's one of those things, man. Like, a lot of people think it's just a lot of goofing around, walking around, dude. But it's, I mean, for me at least, it was a ton of work. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of laughs had and stuff like that. But, you know, it was definitely a grind. And I got through it somehow.
Yeah. I'm extremely, you know, proud of what everything, you know, what, you know, look up to you for the kind of work that you did down there, because you hammered it. I mean, you always were wearing three hats, you know. You were wearing a New Canoe hat, a Paddle Fin hat, and a Brian Schiller hat, you know, and selling all three brands. You were a busy man. I come by a couple times, and you had a mic stuck in your face, and I couldn't chat with you, so I was like, well, I'll run back to
I think at one point, like, you were standing over my shoulder and I was trying to figure out some technical difficulties, and like, I was super frustrated, and I was like, I'll come find you in a little bit, John, this is not going good or something.
We struggle
with Wi-Fi in there, man, and we even paid. Yeah. And that's one thing, dude. Wi-Fi at ICAST is highway robbery, dude. Straight up.
$200 a day.
No, it was for 3 days, it was $227.
Okay, because yeah, I went over and talked to them to rent it for 2 days. They wanted $200 a day. So I told our guys, I said, I've got this baby, I'll run it. And it worked fine for us.
So we tried initially, like, the first two streams on Tuesday, we tried doing a hotspot. And I had remembered from last year, we did the one show hotspot, and a lot of stuff lagged.
Oh, yeah.
So I was problem solving on the go, because, you know, I would be talking with one of the guys as they were explaining something. And, you know, for instance, Tuesday, it was the kayak build off. And that's another cool thing that happened at ICAST that I really enjoyed and was so happy I got to be a part of. And we can talk about that in a minute. But, you know, we would bring in a cell phone on a gimbal to walk around the product we were talking about. And then we would use my webcam and microphones to talk. And I remembered last year the cell phone on the gimbal was lagging when we hotspotted. And it, you know, and that's one of the things, right? Like the more people you put in a StreamYard, the more it's going to lag and bog down because it's just, you're pulling so much through one place. And so I was trying to figure that out. And then at one point, like I kind of got into it. Shout out to my man, Brian Conley, over at New Canoe. But I was like, look, bro, do you want this to be footage we can use down the road? Or do you want it just to be some half-ass crap that we're going to throw away at the end of the show? And he's like, no, we got to use this. And I was like, good, give me the credit card because we're buying the internet. You know, but it was worth it, right? Like from a media standpoint for them, you know, I'm editing up a bunch of stuff for them as well. And, you know, it's little tidbits that they can put out throughout the year. Or use as a reference if a customer has a question, they can go back and be like, go watch this video. This is a complete walkthrough. This is how this works. And, you know, why this one of our, you know, national team guys uses this product and so on and so forth. So it was one of those things. And, you know, fortunate for me, Paddle and Fin benefited off the better boosted internet, you know, which was the other thing in the back of my mind, like if they don't spend the coin, I'm going to, because I'm gonna need it anyway. You know, right. What I mean? And because I wasn't gonna half-ass our stuff as well, you know, so it just worked out. But I want to thank everybody that sent me a message, because I got a whole influx of messages from some people who I'm sure are watching or listening, like. And I tried to respond to all of them. You know, I appreciate the kind words and, you know, people paying attention to what I was doing and running around, and the fact that they appreciated that content and it was the quality of content it was, because that was like a consistent thing, man. Like the quality of content, both audio and visual, that we were putting out from there at times, yes, it was fuzzy when the internet was bogging down, but for the most part audio was crystal clear, most of the video was pretty clear, and everybody appreciated it and said it was some of the best coming out of iCast. So I mean, I kind of had to pat myself on the back that we were able to accomplish that, you know what I mean? You getting ready to launch or what?
Yeah, are you backing up? What's going on?
No, I had to turn my car on to get my lights back on. The reason I left the show is that I guess this inverter don't have enough power to run my laptop. My laptop gave me the sit, so it was about to die. So, lesson learned there.
Just run a couple hundred feet from your house, you know, extension cord, man. You're good.
I know. Yeah. You know, I live a good 1,000 foot down the hill. I get one bar of internet from AT&T. I come up here to where top of the mountain, and I can get 3 and 4. So it's just,
that's wild.
When you live out here in the country like this, and I think Jay, you're starting to understand. It can be frustrating.
I don't know what you're talking about. My signal is perfect.
Yeah, you got 5G at your house. I was impressed. But Brian, I want to touch on what you were talking about. Being a relatively new in the industry, and I learned a lot from doing what you did at New Canoe at the Feel Free booth, because we just threw it together this year.
Sure.
I took my stuff, you know. Our video feeds were off the hook awesome. But what I learned was is that I had to upgrade my audio. So I got on, you know, they had that seminar over there on marketing and stuff. And happened to be, I walked over there and I watched a little bit of it. And it was the guy that was producing the show in the back corner with the camera and all the equipment. I looked there and he had 2 Stream Decks.
Oh, okay.
And as you know, I use Streamlabs OBS, yep. And I got a Stream Deck. So as soon as that show was over, I got him to come out and talk to me. And he gave me some good advice. And he also talked to me about audio, because I knew we were what we would do. I would talk to him through my mic on my, like we was doing here a minute ago, through my headset. And then I'd say, okay, we're going to shut the sound down so you don't hear all this background noise, but you can watch all the activity. And I'd let him stream for about an hour. But so tomorrow, Amazon's going to be delivering me a USB audio mixer with two inputs for two mics.
Okay. Yeah, like so, a Scarlett or something?
It's a MOA or something. After the show, I'll send you the link and let you look at it and see what you think.
It's probably that Movo, that it's like the off brand of Rode.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think it's that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you know about it, Jay? Is it any good?
It's decent. I mean, it's not bad.
It's good when it works.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So, and that's the wireless mic setup.
It's not wireless. It goes into USB, and it's got a little control box that you plug into mics in the back. Yeah.
That should be fine. It's like
that should be fine.
Splitter, basically.
Movo's wireless mics, they're hit or miss. We had issues with them at the show because we tried to utilize those.
It's got like six buttons on it. Yeah. I can set up a couple of.
Oh, I bet it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you guys a link, let you look at it and see what you think.
We talked about that, John, when you were here.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about, like, we were brainstorming. How do we add, you know, how can you, I don't know a lot about the stream decks. So I was like, it looks very proprietary to me. So I was like, how do you bypass that or add to it and be able to add two mics? You know, that you can control, you know, individually. Because, you know, John wants to start doing, like, you know, obviously face-to-face type situations. And
sure. Yeah. Yeah, those and that was another unique thing from the podcast front for me was being able to sit down and do some more of that face-to-face interaction, you know, while we were talking and things like that at iCast. And you know, and it got to the point where I was like, man, instead of running two mics, why don't I just hold one and, you know, almost act like a TV news reporter, you know, doing the whole mic back and forth thing. And it worked out really well. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we did at our booth where I had my one mic, except I had it where we had a metal railing. I had it, what are those? Strapped to the to the railing, and so he'd stand. I would stand here, and I'd have someone stand beside me. And we would talk directly into it. So
sure. No, it was cool. It was good to see you doing the streams out of the Feel Free booth for sure, man. And I'm sure those guys appreciated it very much. You know,
well, like I was telling you, Sukun, who's the owner of Feel Free over in Taiwan, sent a message to Jim, the owner of the USA branch, and said he absolutely loved it. So
that's,
you know,
cool.
And it'll only get better. And you know, being around you guys, I'm learning so much. And obviously I've went from crawling just a year ago to a sprint now.
Sure.
You know, my stuff is, you know, I'm not going to brag too much because I still have a lot of hiccups, but it's come a long way. So
yeah, man. It's way better than the stuff I started with.
No, you've got your stuff pretty dialed in, man, and I like it. I like all the little nuances that you do throughout your show. You know, between like little ad spots and, you know, having your round table discussions and the way you run that and the way it comes out in the stream, you know, because I've been a part of a couple of those and I go back and watch and I'm like, oh, that turned out really good. You know, I dig that.
Yeah. So.
Well, to everybody that's watching this show right now, you need to go to the Rusty Hook page and watch this past Tuesday's show. Because my show included some photos and videos of shenanigans that took place. And these two guys are in it. So I ask you to go watch that and you'll get a good laugh.
I got a great laugh when you were talking about Jay, because you were like, we had to be really careful because you never know what's laying around Jay.
You may end up with a few holes in yourself. I was glad he was in a deep coma when we went in there, because my camera light turned on and was right in his face, and I put that swim bait right on his forehead and he didn't move. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I was afraid he's gonna come out of there locked and send off about 12, 15 rounds. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. I love it.
Yep, because I don't know. Yep.
Well, speaking of watching the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast, I believe starting next week. Is that what we're shooting for?
If it's not the next week, it will be within the next few weeks. I'm hoping that we can collaborate in some of those. I guess it'll be, other than your show, it'll be the only other live show that you guys offer on the PNF page. So we'll have to work out some details on what I do it on Tuesday nights. I don't want to step on any of the other guys. So you just have to let me know where we're at. And
Tuesday nights, Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast right here on the Paddle and Fin Network.
So are you going to be zelling me any money? Like, is there a check coming? Like, hold on.
Say again, Jay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, this internet up here in the hills is really bad. I can't hear anything about money.
We got him. That's the exciting news. Super stoked to have you join the family, man. It's been ragging on you for a little bit, but not too hard. And I told the guys this past week, our number one goal was to get John over to Paddle and Fin. So,
well, you know, I've always considered you guys part of, I've always felt like I've been part of the family since last April.
You were like the redheaded stepchild. Now you're like a brother.
Yeah.
I get slapped around, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you, as I said earlier, you needed an old man segment on your show.
It's definitely nice to have somebody older.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no. I guess you were the old man, weren't you, Jay?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like 20. So,
you got your candle, your cake yet for next week or week after next?
No.
Oh, that's right. Your birthday's coming up, ain't it, Jay?
Yeah, I think it's like next Saturday.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm so excited.
Oh, boy.
Staring down that barrel a little harder.
We'll have to call Chippendales and send a few guys over.
There you go. Now I'm enthused.
Oh, really, man.
You really know what I like, Brian. You're a great friend.
You're welcome, buddy. You're welcome. No, it's exciting, man, to have you part of the network, dude. And it's something I was hoping would happen for a long time, you know. And if you guys have never seen John's show, you should definitely tune in and check it out. He's always got Chris Payne on, who is a wealth of knowledge. As far as like kayak fishing and the industry, Chris has got his own bait company. So sometimes he's pouring baits while he's on John's show, which is super cool, man, when he's in the lab, like cooking up plastics, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, and then not only that, but you guys, you always have some really cool folks on, especially from like your area out there in West Virginia, which is a huge, phenomenal smallmouth fishery. So for all you smallmouth guys, don't miss it.
Yeah, I've been around a little while and I know a few people. So I try to get a few people on the show from the outside of West Virginia.
Sure.
Chris will come on and then I'll try to bring on some West Virginia guys to talk about their tournaments. We've got another tournament coming up with the West Virginia Kayak Anglers here in August. We got two left, actually three. Our big money one's coming up. So it pays out $2,000 to the winner.
Nice.
And then, so I'll definitely be covering those three tournaments coming up, and then we'll talk to the Angler of the Year, and just and then of course, you know, like you said, Brian, the one good thing now with being part of the network is that I can also get some of the other guys from the other shows to come on and talk, and that way we can cross reference some of the stuff that they're doing, and teach the West Virginia area market about what the paddle and fin market has, you know, because I mean, you've got Ohio, Illinois, now you got Tennessee with Jay down there. After he gets out and gets to talking to people, and then you got the hunting segments, the salt segments in Texas, you know. So hopefully we can get more people from my area involved in those shows, and they can just we grow as a group. So
yeah, and the West Virginia boys definitely showed out last year at the event on Dale Hollow that we held, and shout out to all those guys, man. It was a hoot getting to hang out and see those guys, you know, catch some nice fish and cash some checks and take home some prizes and stuff, man.
Moonshine takes the pain away, baby.
Well, we'll wind this down and close it out. Mr. Rapp, any final thoughts, my friend?
Well, to give everybody a little idea how my show works is it'll be a different format than what you're looking at here now. I don't use StreamYard. I use Streamlabs OBS. So I've got my own graphics built in. And when I do the show, I'll do it in segments of like every 10 to 15 minutes. I'll change. I'll talk to someone about something. Then I'll bring on another guest. There may be shows that I do where I call them crank calls, where I don't have anybody come on the show, and then I'll just sit there and we'll talk about something for 10 or 15 minutes. And then I'll go through my Facebook Messenger and start calling people and just get their thoughts on stuff that when people answer.
Brian's I've ended up on there. I was like napping on the couch before my new canoe show, and John called me up, and I thought he was just calling to like figure something out. And no, I'm live on his show as I'm head down on a pillow.
That's hilarious.
One of the guys that was commenting earlier, Dwayne Wally down in Mississippi, answered.
Yep.
He was sitting on his couch eating a sandwich in his jammies.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So, it's a good setup, but you have a really yours like to me is like kind of has a radio style to it, but you have the visual aid, you know, and everything, the graphics and everything. It's cool. Me and Brian have said that many occasions, like, why don't we think of that? Because, I mean, some of that stuff is just so sharp. I'm like, man, that would really spice things up. But
yeah, there was a lot of people at ICAST that would come over and they would look at my system, and I would tell them how it worked. And they're like, oh, man, we got to get that. We got to look into that. And
it makes sense.
I felt pretty good about what we were doing, you know, what I've done, accomplished. And the fact that, you know, just a year ago, you know, I was fumbling through things, to now I'm not only doing the Rusty Hook, but I've grown to where I'm doing a Feel Free Fishing Team podcast once a month, hosting that. It just gives you an idea of how much I've grown. So
yeah. For sure. Jay.
And you know, I want to give a shout out not only to you two that have been there to answer questions and help me out, but my boy down in Florida, Randy Newton.
Yeah,
he has been a huge help to me, to help me grow in this. He's provided me with graphics. He's been on shows with me. I've been on his shows. I really want to give him kudos. And it's like we were talking, Brian, earlier, you know, about our social relationships that we've built, not only fishing, but with the podcast world. You know, when we went out to dinner down in Florida, you know, my truck was back at the house because I rode with the guys from Feel Free to the event. And Randy's like, I said, well, I'll go to dinner. I'll have to get an Uber. He's like, man, you ain't going to get no Uber. I'll take you home. You know, he went 40 minutes out of his way, 20, 25 miles to run me back to the house. And to me, that's class dude, you know, straight up high class. And Randy Newton is the man. I love him to death. So,
you know, you want to know something that you probably don't know about that. So I actually, before I got heavier into the fishing world, you know, kayak fishing, that is, I actually went down to Florida and Randy was my my guide.
So outstanding.
I met Randy years ago down there in Miami, and we went around fishing.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's a really nice guy.
Absolutely, he is. Highly recommend everybody check out his show, Kayak Anglers of Florida. He runs a show about his club down there that he runs, and provides a lot of good information on the fishing, the tournament scene, stuff like that down in South Florida. So,
yeah.
But I don't know if it's common knowledge yet or not, but he may be an Alabama boy in the near future. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. 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 Awesome. Love it. Final thoughts, Mr. Randall.
It's good seeing you guys, man. It was kind of funny having you guys cruise through here. And, you know, it was like a slap in the face, you know, the first time you slunk through here, because you guys weren't even here for 10 hours, I don't think. You know, and then you took off, and then I had to go work anyway. So
I was there for maybe four.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was cool hanging out with Rap and everything, and then, like, you know, going up to Gunnersville and catching my first Gunnersville bass. And, you know, I've never been to Alabama, so that was my first time out there.
Yeah, so, cool. I got a few on Gunnersville. I think I got four or five.
You and Jimmy did really good. I mean, I don't know what you guys were like putting some special sauce on there, but it worked out pretty good for you guys.
I got my first punching fish, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, and that was a big one too, right? Oh, yeah. Decent.
Yeah. Yeah, he was chunky. I think 18, 17.
Yeah.
Something like that, but I'll take that any day.
And it's funny because, like, it was really hot. Like, it was, well, I mean, I guess.
The real feel of that day was 107.
Okay, yeah, the heat index, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was warm out there. I guess with the fishing gear.
I definitely appreciate you young whippersnapper rowing that boat 5 miles per hour over to me at the docks to bring me a cold water.
Hey, I was worried about you. I'm like, where is John? Like, I couldn't see you, couldn't find you, and I was just making sure you were all right, buddy.
And I pop around the corner of the dock, and he's like, oh, there you are.
Yeah.
You need a water? Yeah. Well, let's go. We're going to lunch.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Love it. Love it. All right, guys, gals, we'll see you next week. As always, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.